Turn back to Mark's Gospel with me to the 15th chapter. I'll begin reading tonight at verse 25. It was the third hour, and they crucified him. An inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." And when they had crucified him, with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right, the other on his left. The scripture was fulfilled, which says he was numbered with the transgressors. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priest also, together with the scribes, mocked and said among themselves, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And those who were crucified with him reviled him. Truly, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Earlier, the servants of the high priest had mocked Jesus before he was condemned. The soldiers had mocked him after he was sentenced to die. And now as he hangs on the cross, he's mocked once again. Verse 29, those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Those who passed by. The cross was near a public roadway. Men who were not part of the crowd, but just passing by on business or pleasure, turned aside to see this awful sight. Maybe they just had a morbid curiosity. They didn't know who was crucified. Maybe they thought it would be fun to watch another fool be crucified. So they rubbed salt in the wounds of Jesus as they cried, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." All through his ministry, Jesus had been misunderstood, and he's misunderstood to the end. Always he'd pleaded with people to trust God, and now his own trust was mocked. Matthew 27:43, we read, the people mocked him, saying, "He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now." Theirs was a cry of scorn. It seemed that for Jesus everything was over but the shouting, so they decided to provide the shouting. From the short range view, it surely seemed that Jesus was finished. But God's action can never be measured in a short time frame. That day would have seemed to be the worst day of the world, the worst day the world had ever known. The best the world had ever experienced was finished, or so it seemed. God's purpose of redemption seemed to be defeated. But the days pass. One day passes. 2 days pass. The third day, and Easter comes. God's acts cannot be measured in a short time frame. He has all of eternity to work out his plans for us and this old world. Those who pass by might stop to mock and jeer for a while, but they pass on. They may think they have triumphed, but God's work is hardly begun. Those who passed by mocked him. Verse 31, the chief priests mocked him to one another with the scribes saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Save yourself, cried those who passed by. He cannot save himself, cried the priest. It seems the highest value they knew was in self-preservation. Isn't it interesting? They admitted Jesus had saved others. He had healed the sick. He'd restored hope. He gave life. But for them, if Jesus really were the Christ, the King of Israel, he should come down from the cross, save himself, and then they would believe. In that low sense of the word, Jesus could have saved himself. His obedience to God was not automatic. He'd fought that battle out in Gethsemane. If the chief priests had known the truth, they could have said in reverence, he saved others, therefore he cannot save himself. Come down from the cross and we will believe. But this was the wrong challenge. General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said long ago, it is because Christ did not come down from the cross that we believe in him. Because he did not come down from the cross, we believe in him. His staying on the cross proves for all time that God's love will suffer anything to seek and to save the lost. And we who would follow him must decide. We must choose for ourselves or others. Jesus said it. He that would save his life will lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Those who passed by mocked him. The chief priests and the scribes mocked him. Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And to this statement of Mark, Matthew adds in the same way. The two that were crucified with him mocked him, as did the priest and the scribes, telling him to save himself, telling him to come down from the cross and they'll believe. This is the picture that Mark gives us. The people who passed by, the chief priests and the scribes, and those crucified with Jesus all mock, revile him, ridicule him. What an awful picture. But maybe you're thinking, wait a minute. The story seems to have something missing. It doesn't seem to be complete. It seems I've heard somewhere about one of the thieves being different. Something about one of the thieves repenting. How about that? And of course that is part of the gospel story. But it's not found in Mark. Luke's gospel, Luke 23rd chapter, verses 39 through 43. We have the wonderful account that Matthew and Mark did not record. They both knew about the two thieves. They both knew that both of them mocked Jesus. But Luke tells the rest of the story. Luke tells us that as one of the criminals railed at Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. And there it is again, save yourself. Save yourself. This is the primary consideration. Save yourself. But this thief also said, save us. He saw his need is only to be delivered from the cross. Save us from this suffering, this pain, this death. That was all of his concern. Luke tells us that the other thief rebuked the first one, saying, do you not fear God, seeing we under the same condemnation, the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly? We're receiving exactly what we deserve, the due reward of our deeds. Here is recognition of his sin. This thief realized that his greatest problem was not in where he was on the cross, but in what he was. A sinner separated from God. So he turns to Jesus and prays. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingly power. I'm sure you've probably heard me say it before, but it's one of the most amazing things in the gospel's record to me. That the only person in the world who seemed to believe that Jesus was who he said he was at that moment was one dying on the cross beside him. He looks at a man that's dying and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He saw not only his sin, but he saw the sinlessness of Jesus. He said, this man has done nothing wrong. Seeing his sin, seeing the sinlessness of Jesus, he asked to be remembered. He didn't ask to be delivered from the cross. Just remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then Luke records one of the greatest promises ever to fall upon human ears. As Jesus says to this thief, today, you will be with me in paradise. What a promise. What a promise. The world tends to say, when we take our last breath in this life, it's all over. There's nothing more. Jesus says today, you will be. Your life goes on. This world says there's no hope when life is gone. That's all there is. But Jesus says today, you will be with me in paradise. Let those passing by mock. Let the leaders of society crowd and come down and we will believe. Save yourself. But we know that in our darkest hours that the darkness will pass. Morning's coming. Easter Day will come. And we will be with our Lord for eternity. With this assurance, nothing else really matters. Amen. And amen.